Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Copper is King by Matthew Peed. Narrated by Gary Bennett. Chapter 1. The forest created for the Golden Garden was a beautiful, almost enchanting place. I cracked my neck as I stretched, thinking this might be a luxury that I would have to charge for in the future. I had simply come for a morning walk before my life became more of a hell as I worked to prepare for the upcoming battle with Harry Barker. Coming to a tree that was growing some sort of fruit, I reached up and grabbed up. It looked similar to an apple, but had the color of an orange. I wiped it off before biting into it, expecting the worst, but was pleasantly surprised. It was sweet to an almost sickening level. Not that I had a problem with that. However, I imagine that some people might find it too sweet. My fatigue of the last week of bloodshed and mayhem seemed to fade away. "This is amazing," I mumbled to myself between bites. The fruit might have been sweet, but it tasted so good that I went back for two more. Licking my fingers and lips, I pocketed a few for later and to let rye taste. Heavy footsteps broke the crisp morning air. One of the guards I'd summoned to protect the garden walked by. His thick golden armor was a calming sight in this otherwise war-torn world. I watched the massive golem walk by, then turn left back to the central command of my arc, otherwise called the core room.
"Good morning, leader."
"Morn, boss."
I waved to the people who greeted me as I walked through the passages. My skills helped to smooth over the rough edges of various strangers being forced to come together suddenly. There were still ruffled feathers at times, but the guards and militia were keeping everyone in line. The militia was a group that Laura had made from survivors. The best policy was for humans to patrol themselves. If the guards were the only ones keeping order, some might come to think of me as a tyrant. Not exactly my first choice, but I knew of plenty of instances in history when a tyrant was needed more than a saint. For now, however, Laura was doing her best to keep me looking saintly. Walking into the core room, I spotted the golem that had been created to help me manage the garden. She had an interesting personality, but I knew that she was looking out for me and the garden. I left everything in her hands when I left the garden. "Good morning, Tara."
"Good morning, Master," Tara replied, bowing sort of like a maid might.
I walked over to the room's central column, a red crystal pillar that had magical symbols I doubted I would ever understand engraved all through it. I could technically access the controls for the garden anywhere I wanted within the garden, but something about coming to this spot of power made it feel a tad bit more real.
"Have you seen Alyssa?"
"I believe she is located on Ingerto Island."
I nodded and pulled up the menus. "Could you have one of the guards tell her to come here? I needed to discuss with her what she thought would be the best course of action." Maps of the world still correlated with the world around us, but everything had been cut up into zones. We were in the M City suburbs, a once zombie-filled nightmare area that we'd managed to partially clear by destroying a dungeon core. Alyssa claimed there was at least one more still in the zone, and the rewards of destroying these infestations were worth the risk. That led into another issue I had to deal with. I had thought I would have to find the venue for the battle on my own, but a few hours ago I received a message in my status that told me where to go. The site was quite a ways from our current location. Given that I only had a week, it was going to be tight timing to actually gather any new strength for the fight. Hence the reason I wanted a second opinion on what I was going to do. Alyssa had experienced this before. She would at least have some advice on the matter. Even if she told me to go with my gut, that was still solid advice. While I waited for the battle knight to arrive, Rye wandered in with a big yawn. It was only 7 in the morning. While that might not have seemed too early before, now that we had a chance for proper rest, I wanted her to sleep as much as she could.
"Good morning, Rye. How'd you sleep?"
"Probably better than anyone else in the world has a right to right now."
She gave me a terse smile before shrugging.
"Not that I'm going to complain about sleeping with the boss."
I laughed. I enjoyed her straightforwardness. It was something that a lot of people had started to lose even before this whole competition started.
people were always trying their best not to step on the wrong toe or whatnot. There was always a time for that, but sometimes it was better to just tell it like it was. Feel free to join me here, or go get some breakfast. I'm going to discuss with Alyssa what our next few moves should be. I'll hang out here. She gave me a quick peck on the cheek before she moved over to where Tara stood. Hi, Tara. How's it hanging?
Properly in the sky. The Golden Garden has not moved yet.
Tara's deadpan look made the comment even better.
That's not... You know what? Never mind.
The sound of metal on glass came from the passage as Alyssa strode in with almost perfect timing. The knight lent to me by a god of battle due to my spell was formidable even when not fighting. Just her visage gave off almost physical waves of violence and bloodshed. Underneath it was a keen edge, like a dagger that was poised to strike. I was glad she was on my side. Almost hidden by her incredible aura, Lara walked in behind her. I planned to fill her in later after I had a rough plan of what I wanted to do. Lara was much more skilled at the human relations part of things. She made for a great second in command, as everyone trusted her in my place.
Alyssa, Lara, thank you for coming.
I clapped my hands, excited to get to work. If I thought about this as a business transaction that just ended with someone's head on a spike, then I could throw myself into the work. Tara, if you'd bring out the map?
As you command.
Off to the side of the red pillar, a table rose from the ground. The core room had a lot of features that made it perfect for commanding. There were also the factory-like sections that allowed for the creation of the golems. Highly advanced and magical factories, but still factories, nonetheless. The table had a 3D map on top of it. The zone we were in was displayed with the perfect rendering of the houses, streets, and other buildings. If I wanted to, I could move the map to display the city, or at least the parts of it we had explored. A marker indicating the site of the fight had already been placed.
We have a mission.
To fight Harry Barker in 1 week's time. I placed my hands on the table before looking over to Alyssa.
Tell me, I understand that the arena was fight to the death, but in the case of this fight, what exactly are the parameters? Before I explain, I'll let you in on a secret, Alyssa said. The gods want to see death. They want to see destruction and bloodshed. This is all a game to them. Thus, they live for these battles rather than the arena fights.
Considering that she worked for, or was pledged to, a god of battle, that made sense. Not to mention how they'd screwed up the planet. They could have whisked the contestants away to fight, but instead turned Earth into hell. I pursed my lips in annoyance at the thoughts.
I understand. Don't worry and go on. Very well.
She cleared her throat before she started pacing.
Unlike the arena match, this is all-out war. Sure, you get a bit of time to prepare, but in return, it can become far more gruesome. This one will be simple, as your world has only just started the competition. If this happened, say, a year from now, this battle would be unlike anything you've ever seen before. Entire nations fighting simply to kill one person, this person usually being the absolute strongest person in said nation. As you can imagine, it is not pretty.
That's horrible, Rye mumbled, covering her mouth.
I had to agree with her. Millions of people fighting simply because two champions had to duke it out. Rather than simply have a duel, they wanted to throw as many people between them and their enemy as possible. I get that we're in for a nasty time, but I need to know details. What is allowed and what isn't?
There are only two rules. Both champions be in the selected zone at the designated time, and neither of them get farther than one zone away. That doesn't sound like a lot of range, but I've seen wars turn into month-long cat-and-mouse games.
Listening to that, I thought it sounded like a nightmare, and then some.
Tara, would you add some chairs to the table?
I requested, and she did so, the crystal seats growing from the glass underneath my feet. I slowly sat down. This was going to be a challenge. Harry might not know all this,
but I was going to be on the safe side and assume he did. If he got to the zone first, he might gain the upper hand. Is death the only course?
No, your opponent can surrender. If they do so, every power and ability is transferred to you, as it is in the case of their death. You won't gain their elemental abilities, but yours will be enhanced.
Alyssa slammed her hands on the table loudly.
But trust me, you do not want to surrender. The gods hate that the most. If they catch wind that's what you plan to do, they will strip you of your position of champion and give it to someone else.
Don't worry, I don't. I doubt there are any out there that would willingly give up their powers either. If I knew one thing about people, it was that most had some level of greed. Even the widest knight was in it for the princess. I shook my head of the idle thoughts. Then we need to hurry to the wilderness zone Demina. Knowing the lay of the land is like number one when it comes to wars. I glanced over to Alyssa. Right? I'd been a businessman until a week ago. Alyssa nodded.
You are correct. Plus, the zone will not be empty just because a fight is going to take place there. Monsters, ruins, and other things of interest will be present.
I rubbed my face and stood up. Manipulating the map, I zoomed out until the marker was clear. Now, if the world hasn't changed, then X City is on the way. As you all know, gold is very important to me because it enhances my power. The National Bank there is a prize worth the detour. My competitor requires copper, which we all know is much easier to find than gold. Hell, if he has the manpower, he could strip houses down for a fair amount of the stuff.
If the element is common to the world, then it will have weaker powers. Vice versa, the rarer, the stronger, Alyssa remarked. A pound of copper might be equal to an ounce of gold.
That makes me feel better.
What about something like iron that's found in everything just about? Rye asked. It is not an exaggeration to say champions can reach the heels of gods. My lord, war god Atlas, was once a champion. He slayed his patron and gained the right to join the other gods.
Wow. A man had managed to slay a god. Not what I expected to hear this morning, but interesting either way.
Before you get any ideas, continued Alyssa, the method he used cost him his home world and every person he cherished.
I laughed tensely. It hadn't crossed my mind. I just wanted to survive this tournament. The dude that called himself a god had mostly helped me out so far. Even more so, I would have been dead without his interference. Getting hit by a truck could do that to you. I felt like I owed it to him not to go for his neck. All right, I have a vague idea of what I'm planning to do. I looked over to Alyssa and stared into her crimson, flame-filled, black pool eyes. Is there any advice that you'd like to give me before I start?
Build an army, she replied instantly. You have a good understanding that you can't do everything yourself. The more trustworthy people you can find, the stronger overall you will be. One of the strongest misconceptions most champions have is that they can only be killed by another champion hosting as many powers as they are. This is false. I have seen many souls blotted out by the lowly maid or servant that had nothing more than a blade. These were lucky shots made on the field of battle by the soldier who was fighting for his family against one that would call himself a king.
I had nothing to say to her advice. She was totally right. I was powerful, and some part of me had been thinking that only I could kill Harry, as well as that he was the only one who could kill me. I decided to engrave her words in my brain, my very soul. Strengthening everyone with me also brought me some confidence that I was on the right path. I felt a hand in mine. Rye had taken it and was smiling.
See, we need to work together to get through this.
I squeezed her hand back. You're absolutely right.
Chapter 2 Once our talk came to an end, I ordered the Golden Garden to start moving in the direction of X City. I regretted that we had to leave the dungeon, but it would be here once I finished up with Harry. A couple of times more powerful, but here all the same.
Unlike us, the dungeons couldn't move. That took my mind to another topic. Alyssa's words had left a mark. A lot of this was to entertain beings that were able to change planets at the snap of their fingers. That was a lot of pressure to stand up under. At least I had her with us. She wouldn't tell me how many of these tournaments she'd been through, but from the sounds of it, quite a few. I racked my head about what to do. My goals for the next week were set. Reach X-City, get the gold and any other goodies that might come my way in the process, then go and put on a show for some gods. Simple enough. The question was what to do next. Alyssa, I called before she left the core room. The War Knight turned and walked back. She might be my summon, but she was anything but my servant. If she wanted to walk away, I doubted I'd have much luck stopping her.
Yes, my lord.
What should I do next? I asked, feeling like a loser just asking. Shouldn't a leader be able to know through some sort of innate talent what to do next? Perhaps I was not cut out for this. Not that I had much choice in the matter.
Start a nation.
She said it like it was the easiest thing in the world. I laughed, but as I thought more about it, the pieces started falling into place with just those simple words. I realized that this was the best time to do it. If I waited, the other champions were going to likely receive the same advice. While some might hesitate, others would jump on the chance to be a king or queen. Hell, Daphne had already shown me that it was going to happen whether the person was a champion or not. How many warlords, saints, kings, queens, and gods knew what else people might come up with to call themselves, to become leaders of this new world? My first thought was of the immense bloodshed that would no doubt follow. It might have been arrogant of me to think I would do a better job than anyone else, but if I didn't put my foot down, I knew I'd be drawn into conflict eventually. I shook my head and looked Alyssa in her flame-filled eyes. Only if you be my master of arms.
It is only natural for those with talent to be given proper positions of power. Besides, I would have made your training 10 times worse had you not at least considered me for such a position.
With that, she tossed her hair and walked out of the core room. I stared after her for a second before laughing to myself. I was surrounded by strong-willed women. I had to make sure to keep my own backbone. I gazed around at the magnificence that was the core room of the garden. It was beautiful and showed a power beyond human understanding. But there was a limit. Eventually, the garden would reach a point that it couldn't serve and what I needed. Knowing I had a safe haven to fall back on would be a relief when venturing out. It would also be a safe haven for people I found or rescued. A nation. That might be interesting. Some research would have to be done. Monsters were spawning in the middle of the city, while the gods, or at least the one that has been addressing the world in general, claimed there were safe zones. They might not last forever. This god seemed to be quite cruel, after all. I tapped on the table to zoom out the map some. We were in the middle of Europa. Since it looked like the physical distance of everything was the same as before the change, by my estimates, we were about 100 kilometers from the capital of Britannia. We'd have to cross the Strait of Duncan to reach the mainland, but that would open up the rest of the world. I couldn't even imagine what the other parts of the world might be going through right now.
What are you pondering, Master?
I looked up from the map to see Terra. Not all that much. This country of Europa would be ideal for a nation, since it's an island nation. With a garden, I would be able to manage it all fairly easily. I'm just torn about whether the inhabitants would accept me as a leader, considering the fact that I was an immigrant before this all went down. I had literally moved here a few weeks before all this on a job prospect with a large company. Technically, I wasn't even an immigrant, as my visa hadn't fully cleared yet.
I'm sorry, but does any of this matter?
Terra asked, somehow showing a confused face without actually changing her expression. This world, its nations, aren't exactly kind to outsiders.
Would you still hate a man from another nation, even if he saved you from the jaws of a Killanara?
Not sure what that is, but maybe.
Then your planet is doomed to war for the rest of its days.
With that, Terra turned and walked back over to the central pillar and began accessing the garden's magical systems. Complex diagrams and other data feeds that looked like they were straight out of a science fiction movie moved around her in red menus.
I chuckled at her comment. She was probably right.
Our history of war was as old as time for us. Most of our religions had someone killing someone else, usually a family member because they had something the other wanted. It was a real shitstorm.
Yeah, we're fucked.
I spent a few hours going over the few buildings I'd had constructed. If there was one thing I was really starting to love, it was the fact that as long as I had the mana, most things related to the garden happened nearly instantaneously. With my new spires, that was easy as pie, considering I could flip the auto drain for just a few seconds and get a couple hundred points of mana. Thanks to that boon, I had made some improvements. With Laura and Tara's help on the project, we turned a section of the Ingerto Island into a small town that could hold a few thousand people. They might be crammed into the place like sardines, but at least they had something few people could claim. Safety. We accomplished this by building a few dozen lodges. I wasn't about to start playing favorites by building individual housing anytime soon. That would just lead to infighting. My own personal chamber was likely to cause trouble eventually, but I wasn't about to give that up. I had earned it, damn it. From there, Laura suggested giving people things to do. Alyssa and I were planning to create another standing army separate from the militia. But, like it or not, some people just weren't able to fight. It was better to channel their talents into more productive avenues. Workshops, not the sweatshop kind, gave people the ability to learn skills related to production, something sorely needed, in my opinion. We hadn't gotten anyone to test it out yet, but Terra attested to their beneficial qualities. It had just been over a week since the Accords had started, and already I knew that a good piece of gear could make or break a fight. Thinking about it a bit deeper, I supposed that was true even before the Accords started. The workshops had to be attuned when I constructed them. With the ridiculous mana flow, I was able to put up a street of the structures. In a few weeks, our little group would have armorers, weaponsmiths, potion makers, rune crafters, and a few more fantasy-type jobs I'd never thought I'd have to say out loud. I was a tad disappointed that I couldn't assign any of the buildings as alchemy stations. The skill being legendary made it obvious, but I had still hoped that I could have a small force of people who made our group unlimited supplies from scrap and rubble. Small dreams. I would just have to cover the slack for the moment. We finished making a few more decisions on the Ingerto side of the garden and turned to Durthon Island. We have a few military structures to choose from. A barracks, canteen, training grounds, armory, command post, bunker, fort, and so on. I glanced over to Terra as my advisor on all things garden-related. I think I could build most, if not all, of these. But is there any benefit to them all being built?
That is a good question.
Terra pulled up the visual to all the buildings in question.
The most beneficial construction would be the barracks and training grounds. These would give anyone listed under your banner several benefits toward leveling and skill acquisition. For example, the barracks increases experience gained during combat, while the training grounds allow people to acquire skills safely. Practice dummies award minor amounts of experience and can help new soldiers get their feet on the ground.
That sounds like a nice perk, I exclaimed, hearing the juicy benefits. It might have been slight, but every little bit helped. I know having even a few hours with the sword before all this madness started would have increased my chances by tenfold. The armory is a way to regulate the arms being handed out to your troops. Without gear, however, it is just an empty building with a lock. The command post, and subsequently the bunker, which can serve in its place in an emergency, serve as places to train and host your command individuals. The level of the command post determines the extent of your command structure.
And the bunker can serve in this position in a time of need? I asked, since she'd mentioned it. I wanted to know if I could cut some corners.
To some extent, yes, but there would be detriments.
I nodded at her reply. No cutting corners, Aram. I leaned back in the glass chair. There was a lot to cover and learn about. Laura and Tara were helping. With Laura in the mix, she was taking care of the more humane side of things. I was about to ask another question about the command post when I felt the air change. It was subtle, but noticeable.
Leaving M-City suburbs, C-danger level zone, to M-City outer suburbs, D-danger level zone.
We were heading north for X-City, but it looked like we would be in M-City's territory for a while longer. I did note that the danger level had gone down a notch. While it only spoke of the monster's strength out in the wild, it was a welcome sight. I jumped up from the chair and walked over to the window. A unique trait of being the owner of the Golden Garden was that I could see through the clouds if I wanted. Below, houses stretched out, much like in the last zone, only there was a remarkable lack of destruction. That didn't mean there wasn't any. Here and there I spotted a house that had been torn to pieces through one means or another. I placed a hand on the hilt of the key and used some mana on clairvoyance. The offense spell offered by the garden allowed me to look around as if piloting a drone. I searched for survivors, monsters, and anything else that might be of interest. I found the monsters first, large wolf-shaped creatures with razors on their backs and tails. They moved around in packs, but lacked the numbers that threatened the last two zones. Searching through the houses, I found most had been ransacked. Everything of value had been taken. I found only a few traces of fighting, however, which raised my spirits that there might be a functioning survivor camp, or at least a group that was competent enough to deal with the monsters and not enslave everyone they came across. I found what I was looking for a few minutes later. On the far edge of the zone, I found a post-apocalyptic-slash-zombie horror camp that had been set up. Sheet metal with hastily constructed barricades were erected around a supply store. One of the massive places had dozens of kinds of heavy equipment for sale. Part of the property had been walled off with concrete walls before the Accords began. The survivors had turned it into a bona fide fortress. Moving my vision through the camp, I was able to get a head count of between 1,000 and 2,000. It was hard to count people when they were moving around doing tasks and jobs. The spell faded as it reached the end of its life. I could easily spend another 200 mana to cast it again, but there had been dozens of ability users in the camp. I preferred not to cause them to think that they were under attack. I called for the others. I wanted to go down and meet this group. Maybe not to bring any back to the garden, though that would be greatly beneficial, but to talk and see if they needed supplies. Moreover, I wanted to see if they had anything that might be useful to us. Skill books, items, and anything else that I might replicate with my alchemy skill. Unlike my group that had access to basically limitless food, thanks to me, the survivors wouldn't use skills rashly that might be traded for supplies in the future. Even low-rank skills might have been of high value to them. Looking into my storage at a stack of low-class skill books that I had myself, I knew I could potentially make myself very popular down there.
Chapter 3. With Tara in control of the garden, a small team of us made our way to the surface. I wasn't going to risk going on my own. I had already been taught several times by this world just how weak I was in the grand scheme of things. Plus, having a group with me would make anyone think twice before doing something, how should I say, rash. Tara had already told me that if she found me to be in danger, she would drop the garden right on top of the enemy and unleash holy hellfire in the form of a battalion of ground units. Looking around at the group, I made sure everyone made it in one piece. The teleporting part of the garden was one of its best advantages, but I preferred not to accidentally put one of my members into a wall. That would just kill my motivation for the day. I had three ways to instantaneously move to and from the garden. One, individual teleport, which was for my personal usage only. It allowed me to teleport once every 10 minutes to and from the garden within a kilometer range. So far, that had been enough to cover about 2/3 of the zone we'd been in. Next was a group teleport. I could do up to 50 people several times a day, but I'd found out that it pulled from the mana reserves of the garden.
not something to play around with when there was seemingly all...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?